Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. I was looking for a Johnson & Johnson commercial in the break. Fighting cancer, except when we cause it. Anyway. Ugh. I was looking for one of their latest commercials. We're more than a baby company. I mean, really? So if I... Let's see. Let's do a quick search. Fighting cancer. Controlling AIDS. Helping with depression. Blah, blah, blah. Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, lawsuit. Every time you turn around. Cheerios are great for kids, except for the glyphosate. Oops! CBS News, Johnson & Johnson ordered to pay $417 million in baby powder lawsuit. Ovarian cancer links. A Los Angeles jury has ordered Johnson & Johnson to pay $417 million to a woman who claimed in a lawsuit. Ah, yeah, she claimed. She's probably crazy. She's probably insane. So are all the other folks involved in these class action lawsuits. They're all insane. A woman who claimed in a lawsuit that the talc in the company's iconic baby powder causes ovarian cancer when applied regularly for feminine hygiene. Verdict in the lawsuit brought by the California woman marks the largest sum awarded in a series of talcum powder lawsuit verdicts against Johnson & Johnson in courts around the U.S. All these people are crazy. Eva Echeverria. Anyway. Oops. Johnson & Johnson loses another suit over baby powder. So we're not just a baby powder company. I mean, you know. I was looking for the commercial from birth to grave. We take care of you from birth to grave. And my skin crawls. I'm horrified. Ah! It's kind of my reaction. Ah! Leave me alone. And you go and you look at their playlist, Johnson & Johnson YouTube playlists that they've created. And it, you know, it's sort of telling. Stories of innovation, which gets back to the disruptive innovation stuff. Stories of innovation and progress in HIV AIDS. Right. Developing HIV vaccine. Human Performance Institute. Yikes. Eugenics, anyone? Technocracy meets eugenics. Changing Health for Humanity. Where is the... Well, I was thinking... where is it? Global Citizen. Oh, that's fun. Save the Children. Yikes. Davos 2016. Naturally. Sustainability. Gross. World Water Day 2015. Maybe they're working with Nestle. The steel, I mean, ensure quality, yeah. Cancer, you mean like the kind you guys cause? There's a playlist. Where's the playlist about, hey, we're going to change our product so this doesn't happen anymore? No? Anyway, speaking of, you know, corporatism, syndicalism, Fordism, that kind of stuff, I mean, you... There is, you know, again, you think of John D. Rockefeller, competition is a sin, the monopolists. This is what they do. You know, they form strategic alliances. Remember when Standard Oil and IG Farben established their little partnership and they were going to put, they were going to regulate the production of things so that, well, basically planned obsolescence. You have all of those things that go into these sorts of discussions. You know, Alvin Toffler's prosumer, Bernays's, you know, the appeal to the latent desires, the Freudian latent desires in people becomes the Tofflerite prosumer so that American can be, the every American can be a producer, consumer, lender borrower of last resort for the world, basically a battery, you know, like the depiction in The Matrix, that kind of scenario. But now we've gotten to the fourth industrial revolution, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, and people are less useful. Again, when this discussion arises, I like to quote H.G. Wells' New World Order, published back in 1939. And in Chapter 5, Unsated Youth, he spilled the beans. He was a Fabian socialist technocrat, loathsome disdain for his fellow man. You know, how do they view their fellow man? Like this, the mob of the 20th century is quite different from the almost animal mob of the 18th century. It is a restless sea of dissatisfied young people, of young men who can find no outlet for their natural urgencies and ambitions. Young people quite ready to make trouble, quote unquote, as soon as they are shown how. In the technically crude past, the illiterate have-nots were sweated and overworked. It was easy to find toil to keep them all busy. Such surplus multitudes are wanted no more. Toil is no longer marketable. Machines can toil better and with less resistance. So when I see the self-checkout machine, this is what I think of. This is what is behind that. You could argue that innovation and technology are not antithetical to the interests of mankind. And I would say yes, by their nature, but that's kind of like saying, you know, that's like oversimplifying capitalism. Machines are not being used just for the benefit of mankind. In fact, it seems quite the opposite, in my opinion. Why can't I seem to find a Faraday cage at the Verizon store? Why does everything have to be 5G? Why can't I find a wired headset for my phone? Why do I have to be part of planned obsolescence where I'm constantly upgraded, and now 5G seems to be killing people into their 50s and 40s and so on? That doesn't sound like to the benefit of all to me. So again, the question arises, if you were being led astray, how would you know? Because the monopolists have used their wealth and power to, form the kinds of combinations that it seems to me George Washington was referring to. Cunning, ambitious, unprincipled men, to the detriment of the vast majority of mankind. And of course, to their benefit, their own benefit. So it seems to me. So Johnson & Johnson is telling me about, you know, they're going to take care of me, taking care of me from birth to grave throughout your whole life. Throughout my whole life. No thanks. So technocracy. Wikipedia entry for the technocratic movement, just briefly, and then we'll go back to the phones. Origins. The technocratic movement has its origins with the progressive engineers of the early 20th century. Who knows about those guys? Who cares, right? It's important history. Speaking of reform, we need to go back and unplug all of that nonsense. Just unplug it immediately. I know, it'll be scary, but you know what? It'll get better. Quickly. People will be left to think, instead of be herded in Rand Corporation game theory fashion. That's what I think of. Johnson & Johnson taking care of your whole... Oh, you mean just basically mapping it all out for me, nicely and neatly. the what kids are experiencing, what is left to their purview. You know, when you graduate from what, high school or whatever, Mike Rowe has been telling us we have speaking of being misled, there's an error in our thinking to marginalize the trades that are still valuable, and there's a shortage of labor. Millions of jobs are just waiting to be filled, high paying jobs. But it's been marginalized. You got to go to college. You got to get a whole bunch of debt. You got to do all of this stuff. I know a guy. I went to school with a guy who went to Alaska immediately out of high school and worked on a fishing boat for several years in a row. That was kind of his regular, you know, he did the seasonal thing. Ended up buying a bunch of houses, turned them into rentals in the Spokane area, and did very well for himself. Didn't injure anyone in the process, didn't create any sort of monopoly or syndicate, you know, no combinations. Sounded a lot like, to me, what Adam Smith was talking about in The Wealth of Nations. Every man, as long as he does not violate the laws of justice, no, he didn't do that, is left perfectly free to pursue his own interest in his own way. Well, that's exactly what this guy did. And to bring both his industry and capital into competition with those of any other man. That's what he did. And it was a good thing. Benefited himself and others. He was thoughtful. He was industrious. He was resourceful. He exercised his own initiative. Versus this planning of everything, which, you know, this is why I keep mentioning George Santayana from The Life of Reason. You know, those who cannot remember the past. When he prefaced, speaking of the progressive era, the 20th century progressive era of Fabian socialist architects, progress far from consisting in change depends on retentiveness. What do we retain these days? When change is absolute, isn't that America? Young people graduating from high school and college, what hope is there when change is absolute? When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. Like Simon Sinek said, they've been dealt a bad hand. And when experience is not retained, again, I go back to those generations before, things that have not been passed on, when experience is not retained. And so I'm thinking in the last couple of weeks in particular, all of these books, you know, we're talking about a reading list. Yeah, we should probably put one together, but do people value these books and the ideas expressed in them? How quickly could they all disappear? How quickly have we seen things disappear? I've mentioned some names. You know, people that, gosh, oh yeah, that guy. Oh yeah, her. Oh yeah, him. That's what's happening. When experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. I dare say that's probably an insult to savages and infants in the context of what we're experiencing in America. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So, technocracy. Its heyday was in the 30s. It was revived by Brzezinski at Columbia University in the 70s from the origins entry of the technocracy movement, Wikipedia entry. The technocracy movement has its origins with the progressive engineers of the early 20th century and the writings of Edward Bellamy, along with some of the later works of Thorsten Veblen, such as Engineers and the Price System, written in 1921. William H. Smythe, a California engineer, invented the word technocracy in 1919 to describe, quote, the rule of the people made effective through the agency of their servants, the scientists and engineers. That's horrifying. You got to have kinder, gentler definitions than that, or you scare people away. And as I've mentioned before, Woodrow Wilson in academia was writing about this concept it was being formalized around the turn of the 20th century, including these definitions and so forth. But they were already, you know, the Fabian socialists and their buddies were working on this. And Woodrow Wilson was writing about it in academia before the turn of the 20th century. America will soon be governed by experts. And in the 1920s, it was used to describe the works of Thorsten Veblen. Early technocratic organizations formed after the First World War. These included Henry Gantz, you know, the Gantt charting stuff. Henry Gantz, the New Machine, and Veblen's Soviet of Technicians. Remember, what's the definition of Soviet? Oh yeah, councils and committees. America, anyone? Hello? These included Henry Gantz, the New Machine, and Veblen's Soviet of Technicians. Remember, getting back to Norman Dodd's conversation with G. Edward Griffin, what Horace Rowan Gaither said as president of the Ford Foundation, the comfortable merger with the Soviet Union? That was in the 50s. These guys are meeting at the turn of the 20th century. If we're being led astray, how would we know? These organizations folded after a short time. Writers such as Henry Gantt, Thorsten Veblen, and Howard Scott suggested that business people were incapable of reforming their industries in the public interest and that control of industry should thus be given to engineers. Where are we today, America? Skipping ahead to the section titled Technocrats Plan. In a publication from 1938, Technocracy, Inc., the main organization made the following statement in defining their proposal. Technocracy is the science of social engineering. Cybernetic totalists and technocrats, they seem to be synonymous. Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism. Does that sound like control, anyone? Oh, no, it's just influence and persuasion. Scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population of this continent. For the first time in human history, it will be done as a scientific, technical, engineering problem. There will be no place for politics or politicians, finance or financiers, rackets or racketeers. Technocracy states that this method of operating the social mechanism of the North American continent is now mandatory because we have passed from a state of actual scarcity into the present status of potential abundance. Blah, 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 blah. The technate will encompass the entire American continent from Panama to the North Pole because the natural resources and the natural boundary of this area make it an independent, self-sustaining geographical unit. How about this? Where is that? Oh yeah, here it is. Only by abandoning the interfering price control and substituting a scientific method of production and distribution can an abundance be achieved. Technocracy will distribute by means of a certificate of distribution available to every citizen from birth to death. There you go. That sounds like free enterprise, huh? And so I think Jeremy Rifkin's Zero Marginal Cost Society and Parag Khanna's Technocracy in America. But if we're being led astray, how would we know? Be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
If we were being led astray, how would we know? Well, America is a democracy. America is a republic. Is America a constitutional republic or a democracy? Well, yeah. It's one of those in theory and in practice things at this point. Sure, we have these documents. What is it? Is it a democracy? Is it a republic? The answer is no. Wait a minute. It's an or. I know, but it's a bifurcation fallacy. Peter Thiel helps us out. If you're ready, go ahead, please.
And the very difficult political question is, how can you get an advanced technological society to function in any way that's, you know, more Republican or more democratic at all? And not at all sure how that is. But I think the challenge is that a lot of these agencies have become deeply sclerotic,
that's
deeply
actually
non-functioning,
after
even though the alternative.
What we want, we need to back up to 58. If we can do that, where he actually addresses the issue of how America operates. So, you know, I keep playing this clip, but I don't, you know, again, if we're being misled, how would we know? And I don't think people get it. So, anyway, if we could try that again, let's try that again.
But I think sort of my updated version on it would be that, you know, I sort of made the case that I thought democracy and capitalism weren't quite compatible. The updated version I would give is, you know, it's not at all clear that we're living in anything resembling a democracy. You know, we're living in a sort of a representative republic, but then that's modified through a judicial system. And then, of course, that's been largely superseded by these very unelected agencies of one sort or another, which really drive most of the decision making. And so, I think calling our society a democracy, whatever may be good or bad about democracy, is very, very deeply misleading. We're not a republic. We're not a constitutional republic. We're actually sort of a state that's elected by these that's dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. And
there you go. Who knows what that means? Technocratic agencies. So, you know, I think of Parag Khanna's Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State, and you look at his technate, it's very similar to what we see operating in America. You know, a Soviet is councils and committees. That's what you see predominating the landscape in America from top to bottom, down to every hamlet and township in America, so to speak. People don't realize. Paul mentioned the study that I usually refer to, Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page, 2014, Testing Theories of American Politics, Elites, Interest Groups, and Average Citizens. Multivariate analysis of 20 years worth of data indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. When was the last time you proposed legislation? When was the last time it was passed? This is what's happening in America, and we are encouraged to believe it's our idea and it's for our betterment, etc., etc. We're being misled. How would we know? You got people dying at younger and younger ages. Everyone's come down with something. Autism is what now? 1 in 30 something? Children born, 1 in 30 something children. Depends on where you get the numbers. Like Del Bigtree pointed out, you know, New Jersey seems to be reporting accurate, real time figures, so to speak, whereas everyone else is not. But still, 1 in 50, 1 in 60, 1 in 30, that's... something is wrong. Johnson & Johnson is going to take care of me when they're not paying $417 million in the latest settlement. Cheerios is great for babies except for the glyphosate. Oops, sorry about that. Except not sorry. So if we were being led astray, how would we know? When could we stop and say, hold on a second, and you can't even have a conversation. All of this sort of born out of, you know, what do young people do when they're trying to communicate? I really think that, you know, Donald Trump and the DNC town hall stuff, it's all a limited hangout. It is meaningless. In my opinion, who are the president's foreign policy advisors? That's what I'd like to know. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, October 1st, 2019. You know, I guess to get an idea of what I'm talking about, you could satirical look at what I'm talking about is Kenan Thompson's character in that Inside the Beltway skit that SNL did over the weekend. And again, far, I mean, way too close to home. Ain't gonna happen. Not gonna happen. You know, and as far as SNL goes, that wardrobe gaffe they had seems to be about the funniest thing they've done in years. That was unintentional, obviously. Anyway, back to the phones. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I just, since you suggested, look up Donald Trump's foreign policy advisors, mm-hmm. So I did. And there's a lot of private sector nobodies that baffled the Politico coverage that wrote about it in 2016. But mm-hmm. I was also thinking Greta Thunberg might be up there. Because we've been listening to some of her speeches given to the UN and all of mm-hmm. that social emotional background that mm-hmm. is delivered in school and outcome based education, which I can see through the eyes of those young people. They love her, and they're demanding a new system. Like one of the articles about Greta Thunberg was, she's calling for a system change. And what change would that be? Well, if you look to the son of the father of communitarianism, you see Oren Etzioni, and he's a CEO of Allen Institute of AI, and he's all over the place, all these startup companies. And I'm also seeing in the article that I was reading that all that Trump signed an executive order in 2017 to fast-pace all of these immigrant entrepreneurs, startup for AI, to have the race to AI beat the Chinese. So there are so many fast-track immigrants coming in, working on the science of AI in as many spheres as we can possibly even imagine. And it goes back to me just reading labels in the grocery store when I have to. Now I get like a twitch when I have to go to the store because I'm seeing these foods and looking at the labels, and it's biotech foods. And just knowing and considering that of the whole population, 1% are farmers, and only 1% of that 1% are growing food without the tech or the chemicals or the pesticides.
Right, and this gets back to that monopolist, you know, corporatist, syndicalist sort of conversation where they are being forced out. And I've talked about real world pictures of silos full of Roundup that, you know, if you're going to be subsidized, you have to spray this stuff, and, you know, who can't be subsidized in this day and age? Who can go it without doing that?
Right.
So,
and I, like, I've been listening to the Rural Survival Show because it's all around growing food and prepping. And the conversation just this weekend was, how do you grow a potato? And, you know, these, and there were some people calling in saying, I couldn't do it this year, and they're so cheap, why do I bother? Well,
exactly.
I was listening to the lobbyist for the chemical company. He was a potato farmer, too, the, you know, 200,000 acres of potatoes, and this is how we do it, and that's why they're so cheap. And, yeah, me just troubleshooting a row of potatoes, it was easy. Like, I can say at least I got 5 potatoes per seed this year, but the voles got a lot of them because they knew something cold was happening. And all the animals for the past 2 weeks up here in the Pacific Northwest, they had a funny look in their eye like they knew, and we got zapped. It's going to freeze this week. And so the rodents population, and they want to eat. So, you know, it isn't easy. But I recognize that at least the seasons are consistent. So planting with this, you know, I'm just going back to the very basics of, okay, if somebody's got to hold ground of checking when to plant in the right season and when to respond to the weather as it's ever-changing, it is a battle. And we talk to Lark all the time for encouragement because everything that he knows and is educating us with applies to living, and especially in regards to trying to have some land to use and how difficult that's being made to actually grow food that you know what's in it.
Exactly.
So listening to Greta these past couple of days, you know, that all these kids are under the assumption that food will be free forever. and, well, of what type and quality? When I see that Allen Institute is, you know, going to save lives with medicine, yeah, because they know exactly what that food is going to do. And they'll be coming up with the remedy to go with it,
yep,
to market.
Exactly. Imagine that. And to say it sounds crazy to people, but, you know, again, do some homework. And the question, you know, before you say, oh, that sounds crazy, well, if you were being led astray, how would you know?
Right.
Because there's
right.
evidence to support that, even just that speculation or that conjecture going back 100 years. Monopolies that have been created time and again and that persist throughout the generations.
There is a YouTuber out there. We just started talking to her. Her name's Camille, and she started a site called Please Stop the Ride, and it's to biotech foods, the who, when, where, and how. And I think it's a good eye-opening example, because she's done quite a bit of research on the biotech foods. And I recommend people check it out.
Right on.
Yeah. When I was looking at the Allen Institute, because, you know, you mentioned Lark, I think of Amitai and what he's done, and because Seattle's right here where Oren lives and grows. I was looking up the Allen Institute, and the fast track to an AI, you know, the 5G race, the AI race, but how many, the globalist, all of these 10,000 new visas for AI specialists, more for experts in other STEM fields. They're the ones that are, the jobs are being filled. And that's no wonder why Common Core had so much sway on the next generation, because, you know, the outcome is you're going to sit at a computer and actually steering this whole generation towards pursuing that and not looking at where's the food coming from.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. We have calls stacking up, so we're going to have to...
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, thanks for taking my call.
Jenna, much appreciated, mm-hmm. as always. Thank you.
You're welcome.
In the interest of time, we'll get back quickly. And Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Fred.
Amalgamation of the isms. I agree with you there. I may need some help unpacking this or your input, but what I'm going to cover is collusion between government and business, or capitalism. Laws directed for and to one industry. Creativity, competition, fascism, and monopoly. Okay. In our Constitution, we have the separation of church and state. All of this is in the Bible, by the way. But in the end, which times which we are in, there will be a one world church. And, of course, they're going to kill Christians. But there's going to, and the church, the state will be subordinate to the church. And the state and fascism, capitalization, industry will be together. And in the end times, it'll be like Germany, a fascist state. But the only way you can have a monopoly is a collusion between industry or business and capitalization and the state.
Absolutely.
And the creativity of men and women, of course, is just overwhelming. And without this collusion between state and the business and capitalization, that stops the creativity, because a person starting a small business just has one hell of a time. And if he does, he or she creates it, they have to sell out. You know?
And again, just as a, you know, sort of benchmark on the concept, I usually think of James Madison. I mention all the time, Federalist number 62, him talking about the sagacious and moneyed few who are able to harvest the benefits of government regulations. And then you fast forward to today, and we have ALEC, for example, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that does just that. They write legislation for special interest, and it creates a boon for those who can, presents a new harvest to those who watch the change and can trace its consequences, as James Madison put it. So this is not a new discussion. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah.
Look at the landed gentry and the nobles in Europe, and and collusion with the king and the king's court. Look at Tesla and Edison, and right. Look at Lincoln and the railroads, you know. They're for businesses to collude when you figure construct a organization to accomplish a task. You know, that is useful and be good to mankind. But when that collusion, that organization, that corporation has control of the government and government control of it, well, it ceases to be capitalism or free enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Men, people
exactly.
are very creative, and when, say, a widget is produced at a certain price that maybe the business has a monopoly on it, well, somebody's got to come along right quick and produce a better, cheaper widget. It's as simple as that. But, you know, like it says in the Bible, when Rome falls and all the ships at sea will mourn her, looking on at her destruction and her falling. Well, the ships at sea are business, corporations. And
kings of the earth.
Right.
The merchants of
right
the earth.
On. They will be crying and sobbing, but it's going to happen, my friend, and I know you understand this. Well, and we will have, and we're there. It's mixed up right now with our monopolies, trade organizations, and unions. Well, when a trade union can control their wages and benefits from a or a few corporations. Well, hell, that screws the rest of the people, you know. Like, I used to be an owner-operator trucker, and my God, I was guaranteed 28 cents a mile, which may sound ridiculous today, but I said, I want 50 cents a mile. So I went gypsy trucker, or independent trucker. They called them gypsy truckers. And I leased right back as a trip leaser to the same company that I was leased to, and I was making far more money than other owner-operators and drivers in the same company, because it needed us gypsy truckers or independent truckers, because if freight come up, I'd turn it down. Hell no, I don't want that. If I go to this destination, I can't get a return load, you know, somewhere. So I've been through all this. But anyhow, I'm going to cut it short and let somebody else get in there. So have a good day, my friend. And one hell of a great show. Fabulous. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Fred. Much appreciated, as always. Great to hear from you. I also think of, you know, we play that clip from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, speaking of what we were just talking about. And that was released back in 1936. And, you know, it's that clip where Edward Arnold's character, Jim Taylor, is saying, you know, some people told me you were dumb. I think you're smart. Smart enough to understand the situation when it's explained to you. For instance, and, you know, he starts going through a scenario and Jimmy Stewart's character, you know, Jefferson Smith, starts to kind of get a picture of what the heck is going on here and is very incensed and outraged, as we all should be. Your moral compass should tell you that's not okay. And so, you know, that's kind of what I think of. Anyway, back to the phones. Whoops. John in California. Yes?
Yeah.
Lost
Hello,
Lloyd.
Chris.
Sorry, Lloyd. Hi, John.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Good. And look, I know you're at the end of your program, so I'll try to be very brief. I listened to your discussion with Paul from New Jersey, who expressed his thoughts before on the idea of a maximum amount of wealth for any individual. And I just see all kinds of all kinds of problems with that in determining it, in enforcing it, and in the long run, what effective good would it do if someone like George Soros, who's reputed to have over $15 billion, is doing something illegal or unlawful? And I do believe the guy has a residence in the States, I've heard. But I guess he's a Hungarian billionaire. I think that he's the guy that kind of gets called to mind whenever people talk about a wealth tax.
Well, and some of us, when we talk about George Soros, I can't help but think, speaking of Hungary, you know, his native country says, we don't want your foundations here, among other countries. So, like, you know, that
yeah.
to me says a lot.
Says quite a bit. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So there are things that could be done. And he could be prosecuted if he's done some unlawful things or just things that you know, our duly elected representatives would reflect that perhaps the general voting populace would not want to have be a part of their day-to-day life and the idea that it's the wealth that's causing it, I think that is kind of there is an analogy there to guns. You know, if we just remove all the guns from people, you know, we'll all be in better shape. That as the argument goes. Well, it's not really the guns that are causing the problem. It's, you know, and it's not. I don't think it's the wealth that's causing the problem, because I think there's a lot of wealthy people that are not engaged in things that are nefarious, like George Soros is. But he certainly gets a lot of attention and notoriety because of the things he does. I think it would take I don't recall anyone ever mentioning a maximum number with a dollar sign in front of it for the amount of wealth. You know, what's the magic number, you know, and how you determine
that?
Then you'd have to go to a lot of more intrusive government to try to figure out who's got how much wealth, which
sure,
is going to increase
Yeah, what happens with that and the flat tax discussion, all those kinds of discussions is, you know, that's why I mention books like Gary Allen's Rockefeller File, because he detailed the fact that, you know, and Robert Kiyosaki talks about it in very open terms, the fact that people use their wealth and sometimes their power and influence to try to to their benefit, and sometimes it's in nefarious ways, sometimes it's not, like you're saying.
Right.
I don't think that everyone does, but it's interesting. You see this if you've known people. I've known some people, you know, power does, like Lord Acton said, tend to seem to corrupt, and absolute power,
the more
power seems to corrupt more. Yeah, so
yes.
Interesting how that seems to work. People want to hedge their fortunes and things like that from loss, and so those are real concerns. As far as Soros is concerned, you know, the infamous 60 Minutes interview, 1998, that's interesting. James Corbett still has a copy of it, even though it keeps disappearing from YouTube. And when I think of Soros giving away $18 billion, I think of that line that I've mentioned from Gary Allen's Rockefeller File, where he wrote, "The Rockefellers invented a scheme used by the super rich today whereby the more money you appear to give away, the richer and more powerful you become." So if you or I gave away $18 billion, that'd probably be it. You know, I would, I'd be done. But somehow this guy is still,
yeah.
Funny how that works.
Anyway, I thought it was a very interesting discussion, and I'd like to echo Fred from Iowa's remarks. You have a great show, and I try to listen to you as much as I can and try to take notes as much as I can. So thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
You bet. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Okay. Much appreciated. Yeah, that takes us just about to the end. Lloyd, sorry we lost you. The question that we are, you know, the course of thought that we're engaged in is, you know, if you were being led astray, how would you know? And again, I really think it's a question of merit worth serious consideration, because I know young people are trying to have conversations with one another, and, you know, their elders, etc. And in a post-truth world, how do you do that? Really? You know, people don't realize. I have heard parents say, well, as long as Junior is equipped with the facts, I'm saying, well, hold on, not so fast. It might not be that simple. If the Oxford English Dictionary word of the year of 2016 was post-truth, in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief, then maybe we need to step back and sort of reevaluate. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.